This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday, oh Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play. Here come Wednesday, I'm beat to my side. My gal called, got to tell her that I'm out. Cause Thursday is a hard working day, and Friday I'll get my pay.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Fats Domino for you. Blue Monday, good one, Ed. Ed picks all of our music. You see, he has a natural talent. He knows all the songs that are appropriate. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I'm still healthy. Ed is still healthy. Everybody in the station, I think, is still healthy here. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, March 23rd already. Wow. In a few minutes, Rachel Gresler of the Heritage Foundation is going to be with us. And we're going to talk about mandating sick leave, among other things, during this pandemic and its costly consequences. I mean, should the federal government be coming up with something like this right now? We're going to talk with her about it. And the Democrats and the Republicans cannot agree on the stimulus package to weather the virus storm. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to see if maybe that's a good thing that they can't agree. I think you're going to be surprised. So stick around for that as well. And we're going to bring our two-minute warning out of the closet. At the end of the show, with the two-minute warning, we're going to talk about why the federal government should actually step back and do little, if anything, during this coronavirus battle. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 products worldwide that are disappearing because of the coronavirus. So we got a lot lined up. Now, I want to remind you that we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturdays. During the coronavirus outbreak, everything is a little bit on hold. But we want you to remember that the best place you can go to get your hair cut. Listen, your hair doesn't stop growing, does it, during an epidemic? So it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. He's in the Overcash Plaza. That's in Dunedin. It's just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. There's a stoplight at that corner. Just north on the west side is the Overcash Plaza. There he is. Ed and I go there all the time. It's the best place you can go. Also, please, hey, you're home, aren't you? You're in there, you're watching or you're listening or whatever you're doing. Go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. That's what it is. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com, because you will know who we're going to be having on the show upcoming. Ed sets up all of our shows on a podcast. You can listen to us. Hey, you can go back and listen to us before the coronavirus, when things were normal, if you want to. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay. Boy, oh boy. Lots of things going on. Ed, every day I think more and more that I'm not so sure that we should have Donald Trump and his group of medical personnel standing behind. Get out there and tell us what now the federal government is going to do for us. We are turning into a bit of a complete nanny state. We're going to talk about it towards the end of the show, but I just wanted to let you know. I mean, I would rather rely on the governors of each state. Like, I think Ron DeSantis does a wonderful job. Have you seen him get up there? He knows what's going on. I think he is best suited to tell us here in Florida what we should do, if anybody. The further away we go, and we go to Washington, do you think those people, if they want everybody to do the same thing all over the place, shut down this, shut down that, and I'm not so sure that we're helping things. I think it's a, I know that a lot of people think, well, you know, I want to look for somebody I can trust and feel comfortable. And I think Donald Trump is trying to project that. I'm not faulting him. But I'm not so sure that, you know, we're going to send checks out to everybody now. We're going to send checks out. Are we going to get every single person a check? What about the people that don't get a check? How are they going to feel, right? So anyway, we'll talk about a lot of that later on in the show. In the meantime, the Democrats and the Republicans cannot figure out what should we call it, the coronavirus package. They can't figure out the details. Maybe that's a good thing. Late last night, the Democrats in the Senate blocked a $1.3 trillion rescue package. As five Republicans could not show up. Why? They're quarantined. One of them's Rand Paul. He actually has.
Yeah, I heard.
Rand has, our buddy, mm-hmm. Rand Paul has the coronavirus. Now that gets a little, you know, the more you hear about people you know, the more it strikes closer to home, doesn't it? You know, when you say, oh my gosh, he's got it too?
Yeah, but I think the more people that we know have it, we're going to see more people that are recovered from it that we know.
Yeah.
And we don't have,
yeah,
to,
I agree.
We don't have, I don't think they've shown one person that's come on and said, I had it, went through it, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen anybody?
No. Yes.
You did?
But they're still, here's the thing. They don't know whether or not that person can go out amongst us and still give it to somebody because he still has whatever it is inside of him. I'm not sure.
Well, that's what testing is for, isn't
yeah.
it? I mean,
once you get over it, and, you know, 85, 90% of us, if we were to get it, God forbid, if we were to get it, are going to get over it. We're going to get over it. I think our colleagues just before I came on were talking about how many, in fact, they've got this thing here recovered. 100,605 people have recovered from the coronavirus. I mean, it dwarfs the number of people that have died.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, they show,
go ahead. I just don't know what the difference is between this and H1N1, that it's gotten so much exposure.
The one thing about this, from what I try to read up a little bit more, it's very catchable. It's more, it's more catchable than the flu. That guy Fauci,
mm-hmm.
you know that guy Fauci, who everybody mm-hmm. likes, that
right.
shows. He was on Fox News last night on Mark Levin's program, and he said that this coronavirus is more catchable. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as fatalistic as many of the flus that you can get. It's not, but it's more catchable.
Mm.
So that's a problem. That's why we got this separation thing going on and, you know, all of that. So, but we've got a story a little bit later that is going to bring us some hope. It's a Nobel laureate who's been right on with all of these other things. He specializes in medicines. And he says, don't worry. The good things are about to come. So we'll talk about that a little later. In the meantime, let us take our break. We're going to switch gears when Rachel Gresler comes on from the Great Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about mandated sick leave.
God, I need you to love me, let's please don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love comes a tumbling down. You leave me.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back on a Monday morning. I hope you're all safe. Thank you very much for joining us. And we're delighted to have Rachel Gressler join us from the Great Heritage Foundation. And she's written a piece. It's actually, Rachel, I think it was an opposing viewpoint piece that you wrote for the USA Today about this whole mandated sick leave situation. Now, since you've written it, so many businesses are shutting down or sending their employees home anyway. So I guess the environment is changing as we talk. But basically, you said that the idea of this sick leave mandate, this nanny state response, is particularly trying for small businesses. Would you explain that?
Exactly. If the government is going to mandate that the businesses do something and provide them no resources for it, if you're a small business, and even some of the mid to larger size businesses, they simply don't have the cash flow sitting there to keep paying 100% of their workers, especially if the business is entirely shut down, to pay them for up to 60 days of what's considered sick and family leave under this new act. And so the alternative for them is to either close their business, have it go out of business entirely, or to lay those workers off. When you lay those workers off, it's not like just temporarily having them not work, because then they lose access to all the benefits like healthcare. And the last thing that we want to do during a health emergency is to have workers lose access to their healthcare that they have today. So it was very troublesome to have this mandate put in there, and Congress did try to make it so that the businesses would be able to recoup those funds that they pay for the sick and family leave. But the reality is, if you're a small business, you can't wait either four right. months or another year until you get that money back. And that's, so it would still be,
that's exactly,
still be forcing those businesses to make hard choices.
That's exactly right. You know, I mean, the small businesses, even in the best of times, don't have that those funds necessarily up front to, you know, to be able to do that kind of thing. Now we're in kind of a whole new world, are we not? We, you know, every time I see President Trump show up on television with all of those medical people and such standing behind him, I'm starting to cringe, Rachel. I'm starting to cringe. I'm worried about this nanny state mentality, where all of a sudden, you know, now we're going to do this. Now we're going to send you checks. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to do this. Well, I'm thinking, okay, wait a second. You're going to send checks out. Is everybody going to get one? What about the people that don't get one? Are they going to be angry? How are you going to do this? Mm-hmm. How are you going to do this? Where's the money coming from? It's coming from me, is it not? And all of the tax. And then,
In the future, yes.
Yeah, and now we're going to suspend. And I don't want to send my tax money in on April 15th, but we're going to work. We're going to push that out 90 days. Well, I'm beginning to think, I'm not so sure I want all of this response. Is the cure going to be worse than the virus? What do you think? May I ask, what do you think about all of this?
Well, and that's the problem here, is that you could have a situation where the economic fallout from all of this could be worse and last much longer than the actual health consequences of COVID-19. But I do think there is a way forward that policymakers can kind of help stabilize and try and get things back to where they were without having to intervene and take control of businesses and tell them exactly how they have to do things to micromanage them. And so there are some packages out there. You know, I know that the Democrats blocked the next package that the Senate was moving last night, the CARES package. But there were some positive improvements in that package in terms of the small business components there. And so one of the big things is that these businesses needed access to money immediately so that they could keep paying worker salaries. And I think that's the goal here, is even if you're a business that's been shut down or maybe you're only operating at 50%, all of those should be a bit, should be able to access support so that you can kind of maintain where we were ahead of time. I think of it as like a straight line going forward. Instead of having to dip way down and come back up, we want to keep people whole, because this is not any fault of their own for those business owners or those workers. And so to the extent that we're going to use money, it should be used to maintain the incomes of those people who have been affected by the virus, or just been affected by the slowdown in demand in the economy that's come about. And so you can do that by having targeted funds and by making the money available to businesses immediately. So if you require them to pay the funds, allow them to have an advance credit that they can file for tomorrow, and the money can be, you know, in their pockets within a week or so to pay those funds. Or another thing that was included in that package block last night was loans, and the majority of those loans would be forgiven so long as they were used to pay payroll, to pay mortgage, rent, utilities, or debt services that were impacted by COVID.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Rachel Gressler of the Heritage Foundation. She is a research fellow there. She's penned a piece for the USA Today. It's an opposing viewpoint about the sick leave mandate, saying that small operations are more susceptible to disruption. And it's a very good piece. But here's the thing, Rachel. I guess, and I spoke about it before you came on. This idea that the federal government should be kind of, you know, trying to take control of the situation. I think their intentions are very, their heart's in the right place. But I think I'd rather see each of the governors doing this rather than the president, because what's good for Wyoming is not necessarily good for New Jersey, in terms of how to deal with this thing. And I don't know. I'm just, and maybe that's the libertarian in me that's talking. But all of these different ideas, and of course, you know, this package that the Democrats and Republicans are trying to agree on, late Sunday, the Dems blocked, it was like a $1.3 trillion rescue package. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure anybody knows how to even implement all of this.
Yeah, and that's what's hard. You know, this is a nearly 400-page bill, and, you know, they have to rush to figure out how to put those provisions in there and enact them. And to the issue of the states, you know, I think we have seen a lot of great responses coming from the governors and even local governments in how to respond to this. And there are definitely a lot of ways that they're affected and that they can help their people, particularly when it comes to schools and providing the social safety net benefits that people need, and making sure that the unemployment insurance systems are ready to take the claims that are going to be coming in big numbers, and to get those benefits out quickly. I think the reason the federal government is looking at this is to kind of create some level of equity. There are some businesses that operate in multiple different states, and certainly we want workers to have access to the same type of assistance regardless of what state or what company they're working for. And that is one reason, you know, I think one of the reasons the package failed last night is the concerns that it was a big business bailout. And some of those concerns are probably legitimate. And I think that a way to address this separately would be to treat all workers the same and not say, here's what we're doing for those who work for employees who have fewer than 500. And as it is now, there's nothing done in these packages for those workers who work for larger corporations that employ more than 500 workers. And yet those are some of the industries that are most impacted by this. When you think of hotels and airlines, there's provisions in there to provide big money to those corporations, but there's nothing that's specifically getting at the workers. And as we've been really trying to get out there, is to try to keep them employed. We don't want this to turn into a recession when it doesn't necessarily need to be that. And the way that you do that is you keep everybody attached to their current jobs, even if it means the costly price of paying incomes for a short period of time. That will probably be much better than having to face the reality of a recession that's going to be a loss in revenues, higher social safety net programs, and the long-term consequences for workers of having that time out of the labor force.
Well, do you think, Rachel, Do you really think that whatever the federal government is doing right now or trying to do, it's going to stave off a recession?
I don't know. You know, it's too soon in the process, and we don't know how long the shutdown measures are going to be around. But I think that the best hope of staving off any recession is to keep people tied to their positions that they were in before any of this disruption started occurring.
You know what I think? If I might suggest, I think the quickest way we'll stave off the recession is when we find a vaccine.
Well, hopefully it's sooner than that, because everything I've heard is another 12 to 18 months.
I agree. But here's the thing. I don't think that the government running around and doing all of this stuff and trying to get... First of all, I don't think they're going to get the checks out to everybody. I don't think that'll work. I mean, how are they going to get checks out to a lot of these people that, quite frankly, they can't find? Are they only sending checks out to people who, you know, have a tax ID number or what? Well, right? I don't see...
Yeah,
the devil is in the details.
Everybody.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm not in favor of the checks to everybody because you end up spending far more than you needed to and you're not providing enough assistance to the people who really need it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then you're going to have people that are angry. They don't get a check, or somehow they don't get as much as somebody else. I don't think any of this is the right approach. I guess I'm going on a little bit of a crusade here, but I'm thinking I kind of wish the federal government would not do as much as they're trying to do. I think that they're aiding us to getting towards a recession that much quicker. I look at the stock market, and it opened badly again, I think, this morning. And I don't think that the federal government, you know, even with the Federal Reserve trying to drop rates and everything else, I almost think if we allow the beauty of the free market to do whatever, you know, in the private sector, maybe I'm being too Pollyannish, but I almost think all of us as individuals can react better to this whole thing than a group of people in Washington that are trying to set these rules. Your thought on that?
Yeah, well, there are ways that, you know, the private sector is coming together on its own. And one of the positive things about this is just seeing neighbors help neighbors, and whether it's people that are buying gift cards to the local businesses that have been shut down. You know, I think the reason that there's such a push for federal action is because some of these things have been ordered. And so if you know, it might be at the state level that the order has taken place, or they've been suggested at the federal level, you know, no more gatherings of certain sizes and certain businesses have to shut down. And in those situations, it's, you know, kind of been forced upon them. And so there needs to be some type of assistance if the government is going to be in charge of saying who can and who cannot operate their business anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But those, you know, it should be a more targeted in temporary response,
right.
You know, knowing exactly who's going to qualify under what conditions and when that assistance is going to go away, so that it's not just throwing a blanket of money out there to everybody and having it be indefinite, but really trying to get it to maintain employment and income levels for those people who are directly affected.
Right. Rachel, it is a pleasure to have had you come on. I know you got lots of things going on right now. We all do. But I really appreciate it, and I certainly look forward to talking with you again, hopefully in better times.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Rachel Gresler of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we got to find out what our eye in the northern sky thinks about all of this. I mean, things have really changed, have they not, in just 1 week? We're going to talk with Angelo Ceresi about all of this. Right after the break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. And before we have our friend, our eye on the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, who, by the way, we're going to be blessed because we're joined also by his brother, Andrew the Master Barber. But I wanted to bring this up, and I think it's optimistic news that we should listen to. Michael Levitt, he's a Nobel laureate. He's a biophysicist from Stanford. And he began looking into the numbers of virus cases worldwide back in January, correctly calculated that China would get through the worst of its outbreak way before many experts had predicted. Now he says a similar outcome in the United States and the rest of the world. Now, while a lot of people and epidemiologists are warning of months, maybe years, of disruption and millions of deaths, he says the data simply does not support that kind of a scenario. So I wanted to say that. We're going to go into a little bit more detail on that a little later in the show. In the meantime, we've got them both. God spare us. I've got Andrew the Master Barber and Angelo, his brother, and I in the northern sky. Guys, thanks so much. I'm going to start with Angelo.
Oh, good morning.
How are you? Are you still healthy? What's going on there in Rochester? Are the streets all vacant? What's going on?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, traffic is still going on out here. They have the restaurants just like every place else that, you know, that you have takeout only, you know?
Yeah.
Basically the same thing. I guess they called in the National Guard now for New York.
They did?
But I think that's more down in New York City than it is upstate.
I see.
I guess they have the highest concentration of the virus in New York City. Of course, we've had at least 60 cases up here, 60, 65 cases.
New York is really all of a sudden jumping. Angelo, when you get out, or if you do, and you get in your car and you drive down the street, if you went down the main street in Rochester, would there be a noticeable drop in the number of vehicles? Would it be looking kind of lonely? You know what I mean?
Well, I have not been out at all, to be honest with you. Just from some of my friends have been telling me, and my kids have been telling me that, you know, there's people out there. Of course, my daughter-in-law and my son, they're working from home. And most of the businesses are really closed,
yeah,
you know, with the governor's order, you know.
Right. Which brings me to a question for the Master Barber, Andrew, who has joined us, fortunately, this morning as well. Andrew, is your barbershop, the best barbershop, by the way, in Tampa Bay, is it still open for business during the week?
Well, Paul, I believe I'm going to go into work tomorrow.
Yeah.
We closed early Saturday, which we always do.
Right.
But I believe I'm going to go in because, you know, I've been watching this thing, and the numbers don't add up, Paul. People always tell me numbers don't lie. Okay? And, you know, you got 7.5 billion people in the world. Out of those 7.5 billion people, there's been 353,608 cases in the world.
Right.
15,617 deaths. Well, the numbers don't add up. You know, they tried.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I think you're right. I think well, we're overreacting. Go ahead.
They're overreacting, Paul. Again, I believe this was a setup. Okay, you know, I told you, they tried Russian collusion, they tried the Mueller report, they tried impeachment, nothing has worked. We got 8 months before an election. I believe this is part of the deep state. I believe it's part of the Democrats. I believe it's part of the media, because these people, the American people, are all panicked, Paul. And that's just what they wanted to do.
Well,
so they have panicked the American people, and I blame the Democrats on it, because right now, Pelosi told her people not to vote on that bill that was in the Senate. She flew into Washington, and as soon as she flew in, they had their little powwow, and her and Schumer, they kicked that. They didn't pass that bill that they wanted to do. Excuse me, the stimulus package, and then you've got the media blasting Trump for not doing enough. You just had Biden saying that he's not doing anything for the working people. This and that. I think they have politicized this whole gamut, where the American people are getting hurt, and there are you know what. How many months are we away from an election, you know? And they're still keep pounding on the president that he's not doing enough, he's not doing this, and he's not doing that.
So well, that's it. We're turning
down
on
this way.
Too. Yes, thank you, Angela. We're turning on each other, and
right. And this is what's happening. And that Dr. Anthony Fauci, he said he would rather err to the side of caution. Is he overreacting? He says probably yes. Didn't he say that?
Anthony Fauci is a member of the deep state, okay? He was a Clinton lover. There's articles all over the computer how he was backing Clinton the whole time for everything, okay? I don't trust this guy for nothing. You had other people telling you this is not going to be what this guy's even talking about.
The one thing, Andrew, I know that you think that there may be some collusion between China and the Democrats, although I cannot see in all honesty how the Democrats and the Chinese could have pulled this off.
Now, you know, Paul, you can't underestimate Russia throwing a wrench in this, too, to try and cause something between Russia and the United States, or between China and the United States. I don't underestimate any of them, Paul.
Yeah, the one thing I do have my doubts about is whether or not China intentionally or not intentionally released it. I think probably it's unintentional, but if you think about it, and, you know, you really get down deep into a Machiavellian philosophy, you could say, well, what's the one thing that China could do if they're trying to do some sort of world domination? But you know what? It's backfiring, because all of a sudden, China, the whole world is pointing at it, you know, and talking about how they suppressed info on it. And I don't know. It may be pulling China apart faster than we realize.
I do not think it was intentionally set. I don't think they...
This is Angelo talking. Go ahead, Angelo.
Yeah, they didn't... They couldn't control it, you know. By the time they tried to control it, it got way out of hand. And the doctor that was talking about it, he died.
Yes,
you know,
he did.
So you can't get any information from him.
Remember, they were bad mouthing the doctor. The Chinese government was bad mouthing that doctor, trying to shut him up. And now he's a hero.
Yeah, because you know he was telling it like it is.
Yeah,
and they were suppressing the information, probably because you know their own pride. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
and the communists, they never give out the true sayings. They never have, and they never will.
Now, Andrew, no matter how it started, whether it was intentional or not, we know it started in China. We know it started there. We know that they suppressed telling us about it. They could have told us about it. Maybe we could have started, you know, putting the lid on this thing a lot quicker. They did not do that. But let me ask you this. We were talking earlier in the show, Andrew, about whether or not the federal government trying to do too much, and by doing too much, making it worse. What do you think?
Yeah, Paul, I believe they're being babysitter. People are looking for babysitters in this country.
Yes.
The people have been pampered so much in this country, they're afraid of their own shadow, Paul.
Yes.
And I got news for you. The federal government can't babysit them.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that, believe it or not, I think Trump is going along with this.
I think he is, too.
He has no choice. He's got to go along with it to keep peace in the country. But I think in the background, he is working on getting our industry in this country to start pulling away from China.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be a good thing, Paul, because we're going to end up getting industry back in this country. Look at how Ford and GM and Chrysler, everybody turned their factories, and we're going to make respirators. We can prove we can do it again. But we got to get rid of this American greed, take back our country, okay, bring our manufacturing back here and be self-sufficient like we used to be.
Well,
I believe the globalists are behind this, Paul.
Well, here's the thing, and maybe you and I will diverge a little bit on this, but I'm looking at a story. Trump hints possibility of less restrictive approach.
That's what he's been trying to do, and this is the people have been getting on his case for, you know.
Yeah.
They want him to invoke that War Powers Act where he can order the companies to start making these respirators and stuff like that.
Right.
And you got people that were in his report yesterday when he was on TV, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting on his case for not doing enough. They want him to invoke this War Powers Act, and he's trying to, you know, try to appease some people, but you just can't do it. He's trying to get this country to start taking care of itself, you know?
Right, and that's Angela talking about. I just wanted to say, Trump said yesterday, he tweeted, his administration will reassess its response to the coronavirus outbreak at the end of the 15-day period. Well, I hope they do reassess, and I hope they come to the conclusion that maybe if we allowed businesses to make their own decisions on what to do with their employees, I mean...
Right. He doesn't want the whole government takeover, you know what I'm
saying?
That's
what I'm worried about, right? Andrew, are you worried about this nanny state takeover? And like you said, we have become so used to... you know, all of this federal government involvement in our lives, that when we up it to the level that we're trying to up it now, I don't hear much of a response.
You know, Paul, all these young millennials and these people that believe in socialism, okay, they're getting a quick taste of it right now, aren't they?
They are.
They're getting a good taste of it, and maybe this needed to happen before the election, because look at
Did you see these two reporters yesterday? They were getting on his case. How come you're not doing this? You're not doing that? And why are you calling it the Chinese virus? Well, it happened in China.
That's right.
Nobody complained when it was called the German measles.
No,
right?
That's correct.
Nobody complained when it was the Spanish flu, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The press is looking like idiots for even bringing that up.
They're actually adding more fuel to the fire, and they're panicking the people more than ever before.
And yeah.
They've politicized this thing. Worse,
Paul, the numbers don't add up again, okay? I can guarantee you, what is it? They say the average of people that die of the flu in this country every year is about 34,000. One year, I don't know what year it was, they had 64,000 pass away from it, okay?
Right.
I'd be willing to bet everybody right now that this does not surpass the average of 33,000 people dying in this country from this virus. And when that happens, this country is going to feel like a bunch of fools.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're talking like numbers don't add up, every one of those numbers, a person dies through either a father, a mother, a son, a daughter. You know what I'm saying? You're taking away the human value on it. Besides, you know, even that you say the numbers don't add up, we still have to take care of this virus no matter what.
Oh, no question about it.
I mean,
no question.
It is a serious thing. Otherwise, it wouldn't be spreading so fast, you know?
It isn't spreading fast. Well, that's the thing. Look at the amount of people. It is not spreading fast. Look at the amount of people that are dying. Look at the population. You got 340 million people in this country.
It is for a person like me that I would be more susceptible than to some other
people. Then you've got to stay in the house.
Right. Right,
like you would have to do with a regular flu season. They wouldn't allow you in the nursing home, would they, when mom was in there?
No, when mom was sick.
Okay, why? You got to watch yourself.
The flu was there, yes.
Okay.
That's common sense with any flu.
Right.
I think you're both making good points. I was listening to Dr. Fauci. He was on Levin, the Mark Levin show.
I got to watch it, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? They'll rerun it. But it was a very interesting conversation, and he basically said, in a nutshell, The flu is more fatalistic, if you get it. I mean, the percentages of people. But that the coronavirus is more catchable. It's more,
right. It's
easier to catch than the flu. So that was kind of the difference. But I'm looking again at this Nobel Prize winner. His name is Michael Levitt. He's a Nobel laureate. And he talks about the fact that he thinks we are over-responding. And he thinks that it's not going to be as bad as everybody's worried about. And he does not support a dire scenario at all about this. And I think both of you guys, and I love having both of you on together, have brought some excellent points about it. And both of you stay safe I want to be able to talk to both of you again next Monday. We're going to talk, of course, to Andrew tomorrow again. But thank you very much, Angelo. Keep your eyes alert for us, and we'll be talking with you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, buddy. All right. And Andrew, the master barber, be talking with you again tomorrow.
Hey, bro. Talk to you later. You take care, buddy.
Okay.
Be good.
There they go. Two good guys. Two good guys. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, we are going to talk about this Nobel laureate, what he has to say, and explain why he's so optimistic.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back for the final segment on a Monday of Freedom Works. We are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. So please, please, please be with us. We're having, such important things to talk about these days. And I want to give you some positive news. First of all, Walmart, Amazon, and Domino's, they're not letting people off. They're hiring. Domino's, listen to this, they're going to hire 10,000 people, 10,000 nationwide, because of delivery demands. They won't be able to make these pizzas fast enough, I don't think. They're looking for part and full-time delivery drivers. They're looking for pizza cookers, customer service reps, managers, and licensed truck drivers for their supply chain. So that's good news, is it not? Amazon. It wants to hire 100,000 new workers for its U.S. warehouse and delivery wings in order to keep pace with the rising demand during the outbreak. Because you know that people are going to order things so they don't go into the retail stores. They're going to order stuff, and look at Amazon. They're going to have to hire all these drivers and all of these people in their facilities. And then you got Walmart. Look at Walmart. Ed, Walmart's probably
for drivers.
Yeah.
Well, places like Uber Eats too. You can, if you have a decent car, you can sign up real quick. Gas is very low price right now, so your profit margin's going up.
What's gas right now? About $1.95?
I just filled up for like $1.86 yesterday.
Wow. Do you think we'll get to a dollar? Wouldn't that be amazing?
I don't think we'll get to it. They said it would probably get to about $1.50.
Wow. Well, Walmart plans to hire about 150,000 temps by the end of May for their stores and distribution centers. And it says some of those could become permanent. So, while some places are shutting down, others are taking full advantage. I think all these restaurants, at least around here, are turning themselves into takeout and delivery. I'll give you an example. Red Lobster, which was not a deliverer, is now delivering. So if you wanted to get your your lobster, whatever, Biscay, call Red Lobster. They'll deliver
it
to you.
That's signs all over yesterday saying we do takeout.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And anyway, I want to get to this Nobel laureate. We keep talking about this guy, Michael Levitt. He foresees good news coming down the pike. While many are warning of massive social disruption for months or even years, and millions dying, he says the data does not support that scenario. He says what we need to do is control the panic. He says we're going to be fine. Here's what he noticed in China. At the end of January, the country had 46 new people die due to the coronavirus, compared with 42 new deaths the day before. So on a single day, 46 as compared with 42. He said, although the number of deaths went up, the rate of increase had begun to ease off. That's what he noticed. He said, this suggests the rate of increase in number of deaths will slow down even more over the next week. Now, he said that in a report February the 1st. It turned out to be true. What his forecast basically nailed it. As of March 16th, China had counted a total of about 80,000 cases with about 3,200 deaths. In a nation of nearly 1.4 billion people, where roughly 10 million people die every year under normal circumstances, the number of newly diagnosed patients has dropped. Now, he received the 2013 Nobel Prize in Chemistry for developing a complex model of chemical systems. So he seems to know a lot about the breakdown of these different, you know, things that the virus is made of. So let's just hope he might be right. All right, Ed, I want to talk to you. Before I'm going to do a two-minute warning, but I want to ask you real quickly, because here in Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston has been the quarterback for about 6 years for the Bucs, and all of a sudden it looks like he's out of a job. Did they fire him, or is he still on the payroll?
No, he's off the website. He has no contract.
So he's basically not an employee.
He's a free agent.
He is right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
His locker's cleaned out.
Are you happy with it? Are you happy we got Tom Brady for the quarterback?
I'm not. I would have liked to have seen us maybe go another way, but I'm okay with it. I'm just worried about his age, and if we put all our eggs in one basket and something freakish happens and he gets hurt, you know, who knows? But there's kind of a unspoken law or
rule,
rule in the NFL mm-hmm. between players that you don't try to cream the hell out of a 43-year-old guy that's basically feeding the league a lot of money, too, you know.
I think that's hard to follow when you've got him in your sights and you're a linebacker that knows that if you were able to take him out of the game, it's going to be a heck of a lot different score.
Mm. Of course, Jameis went out in true Jameis style. Brady. It was said that Brady wanted to control the offense. He wanted to bring players in. That's not true. He asked for one thing. He wanted the phone numbers of every player on his team so he could call them individually.
Oh, really?
Yes. And Jameis sent out a tweet thanking all the fans for their support in Tampa Bay, and he looks forward to seeing them again back here in February.
Oh, in February, Super Bowl time.
Yeah, he'll be on
the Super Bowl team.
Once again, he went out in his own style, you know.
Oh, you got to love them. You got to love them. Well, Ed, thank you very much. You know what? We're going to save our two-minute warning, which I billboarded earlier in the show for tomorrow, because we got so much going on. We got both of the, Sorese brothers. They took up just too much time. So let's get right to our top 10. If you would, Ed, get over to the drums. These are the top 10 items, and we're not talking about groceries, but the top 10 missing in action items that are occurring because of the coronavirus, all right? Mm-hmm. So here we go, number 10. New movies. Did you know they're shutting down crews of making movies? Yeah, it'll have the coronavirus will have a damaging effect and impact on the U.S. movie box office. The next major Bond film recently shifted its release from April to Thanksgiving.
Well, some of them are now letting you download the movie or rent for $20.
Ah, so it'll still be a first run in the theaters. Yes. Ah, that's an interesting point. I can't get it for 99 cents?
Nope.
Now, come on, Ed.
You can get it for 19.
You know all those.
You can
tricks.
Get it for 99 cents, but there's $19 in front of that 99 cents.
Okay. All right. Number 9. This one surprised me a little bit. Air conditioners are actually going to be in short supply because China makes 80% of the air conditioners in the world.
Mm.
Yeah. Two of their well-known brands, Gri and Chigo, have had production interruptions. Number 8. A lot of this stuff is made overseas, and this is being limited, okay? T-shirts and socks. Yeah, T-shirts and socks will be in short supply. The apparel industry has been relying on China for fabrics and clothing. Got to remember, China's having all kinds of shutdowns. All right, number 7. Toys and games, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Your Baby Yoda will not be available, maybe, down the road here, along with other toys. Yeah. Okay, number 6. Solar panels.
Mm.
There is a shortage of waters and solar glass. Wafers and solar glass from China. And prices of these panels are going through the roof. Hey, that's kind of a pun, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Number 5. Auto parts. There may be spot shortages of certain auto parts here in the United States. Why? 12% of U.S. imports come from China more than any other country except Mexico. Okay. Number 4. This may affect you directly at vaping devices.
Mm.
There may be a shortage. Are you still vaping little bit? Okay. Well, Shenzhen, China is referred to as the vaping capital of the world because all of the vape manufacturers are located there and most of their production has been disrupted.
Mm.
Okay. Ah, wait till you hear this one. Number 3. I don't know how this one got in here. Garlic.
Really?
Yeah, 70% of the garlic consumed in the U.S. comes from China.
Grow your own.
Yeah. I didn't know China makes our garlic. I thought we did that. Okay, number 2. And this is a not surprising one. Consumer electronics. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
China makes so much of it there. You know, smartphones, the iPhone 11, phones by Xiaomi, I guess it's called, and Realme, the Apple Watch, TVs. Wow.
Mm.
All of them. Okay, Ed, here we go. Number 1. What do you think is the number 1?
Toilet paper, I guess. I don't know.
That's a good guess. Mm-hmm. Roll the drum, my friend. Actually, toilet paper won't be in short supply, although it's being pulled off the shelves.
Yeah,
they're continuing to make it. We're not running short of the process of manufacturing. It's medicines, though. Right. So you were close. Medicines. Some medicines and prescription drugs, such as generics and some antibiotics. And you got to remember, we've been relying way too much on China for our pharmaceuticals.
I saw a T-shirt that said, it said 2020, and the zeros were toilet paper rolls. And it said the year the SHT hit the fan.
Very true. Hey, is that, you told me that one of those like dollar stores is a good place to go.
Yep.
Is that still the case?
Yep.
Only our fans know that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't spread the word. Get over to the dollar stores.
Go
get your toilet paper.
Go to the smaller outlets.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll be back tomorrow. Freedom Works.
Late at night, body's yearning. Restless night. Someone's playing in the garden. So enticing, should I take a bite?
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.1